Today's show is presented by Prize Picks. Go to prizepicks.com and use code PACKADAY for a $100 deposit match.
Minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, Packers fans? Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I am your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. If you could do me a huge favor, make sure to like, subscribe, comment, give those five-star reviews if you are listening on the audio channel. Check out those Pack-A-Day YouTube memberships if you are on the YouTube channel. Always appreciate the support, and per usual, it is always more than enough just to be here. But if you want to support the channel, it doesn't have to be monetarily. Tell somebody about the show or do some of those simple things that help the algorithm out and help us just get a few more views. Those things always help out a ton. Today, we're kicking off a three-part series. It's one of my favorite ones to do all year long, and that's just kind of ranking the current Packers roster from number 90 to number one. And we're going to be going from 90 to 61 today. I'll be totally honest. This isn't usually our most watched or most listened to episode, but I still think it's kind of fun right before the start of training camp to go through and kind of look at where does this roster stack up from 90 to one? What are the expectations for some of these players going in? We kind of went over the other day, like how, you know, who has a chance to make the roster and things like that. But this is always sort of a right before training camp sort of episode. And we're there. We're a week and a half away, and I'm excited to dive into this. I also find it very fun. So Bill Huber over on Packers on SI does a full ranking from 90 to one as well. And he does it in like a 20-part series or something like that. But he does a phenomenal job. He goes into great detail with all the players. He only has two left. I'm assuming number two is going to come out probably today as you're listening to this, and then number one in the near future. If you haven't checked out his series yet, make sure to check it out. But I've done this for a few years now, and he usually does it around the same time. And I love, as soon as I'm done and finalizing my list, looking at his list and seeing, all right, where did we differ? Who had somebody higher? Who had somebody lower? And last year, I thought we were pretty close. We had a handful of players that he was higher on, I was higher on, et cetera. But this year, there were some real discrepancies between players. So we'll look at that when we get to our final one. But if you haven't checked out Bill's series yet, make sure to do so over on Packers on SI. Again, that is Bill Huber. He does a phenomenal job with it. And as I get to episode one, I'm not going to obviously spoil his series, but we'll go over some of the discrepancies that Bill and I had. And I just think it's fun to look at. And it, even like you do this as a one person, no lifelines, right? I didn't ask anybody else. I didn't look at anyone else's rankings. I just put together my ranking from 90 to one, and there's no lifeline with that. You know, you kind of put yourself out there of like, this is how I view this Packers roster. And there's always going to be a difference in views and opinions of where these players rank on the team. So I'll be very excited to get your feedback over the course of the next few days. But we're going to start right away. Number 90, by the way, was one that Bill and we had six, I think it's five, maybe six players, depending on who he puts at number one, that we had the exact same rating on. Number 90 is one of those, and that is Alex Hale. Alex Hale is an interesting conversation in that he's the International Pathway Program player. He is a kicker, and Brandon McManus just got a huge new contract. I don't know what the long-term play here is for Alex Hale, if they think they can develop him for a couple of years as an International Pathway player, have that international exemption on the practice squad, and eventually allow him to take over for Brandon McManus. Maybe there's some thought of that. I think if I had to guess what the thinking might be here for Green Bay, isn't necessarily a long-term plan, although if it comes to fruition that way, I'm sure they wouldn't hate it. But I think more likely what Green Bay is thinking here is, if you get to game day, every other non-specialist position has backups on the roster, right? If you can't stack two kickers, two punters, two long snappers, anything like that. You usually have an emergency long snapper. Usually your kicker can do the punting to some extent, right? They can get it up in the air enough and, you know, maybe punt it 30, 40 yards where it's at least something where you're not completely losing field position. But if your kicker goes down or you don't have a kicker on game day, it just changes everything. Maybe your punter has a little bit of an ability to kick an extra point or maybe a short field goal, but it just changes the entire game plan. You can't even attempt field goals of like 35 or more yards. It just makes things really, really difficult. So I kind of believe that Alex Hale, as an international pathway program player, is somebody that they have on the roster in case you get to the Saturday before the game where you can still call up a player and Brandon McManus tweaks something or he ends up with an illness where he's unable to play, that you have a baked-in kicker, a backup kicker on the roster that you can call up for game day and still allow him to be on the roster and actually having a true kicker on the team. And I do think that that has some value. And it's not even a player that's on the 70-man roster, meaning the 53 plus the, well, I guess the 69 roster, the 53 plus the 16-man practice squad. He's sort of this own spot in and of itself. And if you're looking at value for that international pathway, that 17th spot, it's kind of tough to get more value than that. Kenneth Odemegwu is a fun story and, you know, he's a freak athlete and things like that. But the odds that you're going to get an international pathway program player in that spot and over the course of like 3 or 4 years, they're going to develop into it. It's just not super likely in the modern NFL. It is so hard to kind of make that jump and that leap into a player that could potentially play at an NFL level and make an impact. So if you're not going to get maybe the long-term gain and there's no real short, like Kenneth Odemegwu, you can't just call up and activate and have him play. He's just not ready, right? So in this case, you get a backup kicker out of it in case of an emergency. It's not the dumbest use of that potential, you know, bonus roster spot, right? But as a pure roster player, he's going to come in at number 90. All right, number 89, Keith Randolph, defensive tackle. Earlier in the offseason, I did a episode on players that you probably don't even know of that are on the team. And I kind of ranked them from 13 to 1. And number 11 on my list was Keith Randolph. Listen, he was a Senior Bowl player in 2024. I didn't think he looked the part at that time. He's 23 years old, out of Illinois. He was an undrafted free agent from the Bears. There's a random smattering of defensive tackles on this team, four in totality, that are kind of mystery box type players. All of them are going to be showing up in our rankings today. I think Randolph, for me, is probably the least of those four players, and that's why he comes in at number 89 on this list. I will say that that group of four defensive tackles, plus a Nasir Stackhouse, somebody like that, there is some opportunity for someone in that group to potentially take a jump. There's probably one injury away from either, you know, Nasir Stackhouse, who would be the leader in the clubhouse right now, or those four defensive tackles, for one of those guys to step into the fifth defensive tackle role. So it's not an impossibility that one of these random defensive tackles could take a jump. Maybe it's Keith Randolph, but for me personally, I have him kind of on the lower tier of those defensive tackles. Number 88 is Johnny Lumpkin, the tight end. Johnny Lumpkin's a little bit older, and I think that really kind of hurts him in general. He's 27 years old, which isn't old in general in the NFL. You know, he's not exactly 30, but for a developmental player, somebody that you kind of have in the back end of the roster that you're looking for, you know, maybe somebody with some upside or some developmental potential, like that's done. Johnny Lumpkin is who he is at this point at 27 years old. And that is a, I guess, journeyman style tight end. The one thing I will say is that he is a bigger tight end and could potentially bring some blocking ability to the team. And they don't have a true blocking tight end. So if he goes out and shows out as a blocking tight end, there could maybe be an avenue for him there somewhere. But I think even as a practice squad guy, he's going to struggle just because he's a little bit older. But he's definitely probably fighting more for that practice squad spot than anything else. But that's why the age and the just lack of upside and things like that is why he comes in number 88 on the list. Number 87 is another one of those players that we looked at in the players that you probably don't know who they are list. And that is Isaiah Dunn, the corner. This is another one, similarly to Keith Randolph, where there is opportunity at the corner position. I talked about it yesterday, whether it's Kamal Haddon, Kalen King, Micah Robinson, Gregory Jr., you know, Isaiah Dunn, any of these guys, Herring, the undrafted free agent, Tyron Herring, go out and grab it. That fourth, fifth, sixth corner spots, they're available. I guess Bo Melton too. Like, it's available. Go take it. There's nobody locked in and Sharpie on any of those spots. Go out and earn it. Isaiah Dunn's an interesting corner, 8.93 relative athletic score out of Oregon State. This is another one, though. He was an undrafted free agent in 2021, and he's 26 years old. So he's got 6 foot, 189, good height, weight, speed guy. He has some special team snaps. So I do think that this could be somebody that, you know, maybe makes a random run at something, but I don't know. To me, he, with the age and the, you know, not really being able to stick into the NFL up until this point, to me, he just comes in a little bit lower on the list, and that's why he's number 87 overall. 86 is our first undrafted free agent of this class. That is Brant Banks, the offensive tackle. This, to me, could potentially be a practice squad player. He is a true tackle. I'm not sure how much overall versatility that I would give him. I think he's probably left tackle, right tackle. Maybe he could kick in to guard a little bit if you wanted him to kind of do that. But yeah, overall, this was one of the UDFAs that I just didn't think really kind of stood out in any sort of way. He's 6'7", 306, spent 3 years at Nebraska, 2 years at Rice. He does have 99th percentile height. I guess that's something, but that isn't always the best thing for a offensive tackle either. Was not listed on the consensus big board, was 93rd overall tackle on Dane Brugler's board. I do think that he potentially has the body type to hang up, or like just to be able to hang in the NFL, but he was very choppy in his footwork, struggled with twists and stunts. I just think that this is a redshirt player at best that is at minimum going to need a year, maybe 2 years on the practice squad to develop. So for me, he comes in at number 86. Number 85 is Sam Brown Jr., the wide receiver. This is somebody that they got right in the middle of like OTAs and minicamps, or right around that time. He was not an initial UDFA free agent signing. I, amongst others, I know Jacob Morley really liked him, was one of the players they highlighted in the Green Bay draft guide. I thought he had a chance to go kind of late seventh round, probably like mid to late seventh round, or at least be kind of a borderline draftable player. Height, weight, speed guy, has all the upside and juicy traits that you would potentially want at wide receiver. Was excited when Green Bay picked him up. Man, does he look raw in person. Had some drops, had some nice catches too, some very impressive catches in OTAs and mini camps. But you can just tell the rookie, you know, deer in headlights sort of look, and just the game is going very, very fast for him at the moment. So potential practice squad guy, somebody that could maybe stick, although he's got a lot of receivers in front of him to get to that spot. All the talent is there. I'm glad that Green Bay picked him up, but I think he's got a lot of work to put in to round himself out as a NFL wide receiver. Number 84, another UDFA, JJ Lippe, offensive lineman. I liked Lippe's tape when I went and watched it. This is, again, one of those offensive linemen. I remember Alex Light coming in, and his Alex Light's tape in college as a UDFA, I'm not saying as like a draftable player, but as a UDFA, I'm like, oh, there's a player that I like here. There's workable stuff with Alex Light. So I was excited that they picked him up as a UDFA, and I thought he'd potentially be a practice squad guy that could maybe develop. And they really tried, right? They put him as a practice squad. He was on the active roster eventually in his career. I remember they had kind of David Bakhtiari mentoring him for a bit. It just didn't end up working out. But with Light, you know, no pun intended, he was very light coming out of college, and you could tell he was going to need some time in an NFL weight room and to put on some of my favorite functional strength. And I think JJ Lippe's just in that conversation as well. I think there's an interesting football player there. Wouldn't hate him, again, kind of going through that red shirt practice squad kind of season in Green Bay, putting on some weight and then seeing what he can do in 2026, kind of a la where Donovan Jennings is at right now after his red shirt season on the practice squad in 2024. 83 is another one of those defensive tackles, and that is Cameron Young. Cameron Young was brought in late in the process, was a former draft pick by the Seattle Seahawks, is pretty stout against the run despite being lower in the 300s from a weight standpoint. He does have some time in the NFL, which isn't nothing, right? Anytime you get a flyer kind of player that does have some NFL experience, it is worth noting. But I also note a lot of times when a team gives up on a fourth round pick or anything earlier, a little bit earlier in their career, that's usually not a great sign. as mentioned earlier, these defensive tackles have opportunity. You're one injury away from needing one of those UDFA or random defensive tackles to step up and potentially make the roster. Cameron Young, having NFL experience, certainly could serve him well. But I do think he's going to have to really earn that spot in Green Bay. There's a couple of defensive tackles that I liked a little bit more than him, but he did have a pretty solid pedigree coming out of college, and maybe Green Bay can find a way to unlock him in a different way. We'll be right back. We've got 1 weekend of baseball left before the All-Star break, which means it's time to get in your prize pick selections now before we have a lull in the baseball action. As always, Prize Picks is going all out just like they do during football season, and they have the best promos, prizes, and selections, and there's never been a better time to get in on all the action and to start winning. Now, right now, you can sign up for Prize Picks and get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. You don't even need to win to receive that $50 bonus. It's absolutely guaranteed. So you think Milwaukee will stay hot ahead of the All-Star break? Will Jackson Chourio use his recent game-winning hit to get hot at the plate? Can Andrew Vaughn continue to impress in Milwaukee? It's time to cook up your hot takes with your friends and win real money this baseball season when you and your crew run your game on Prize Picks. This week, I'm going with James Wood against Milwaukee, and we'll also be looking for Freddie Peralta to have a dominant performance against Washington on Sunday. The best part is that you can download the app today and use code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly when you play your first $5 lineup. That's the Prize Picks app using code PACKADAY to get $50 instantly on your first $5 lineup. So what are you waiting for? Prize Picks. Run your game. Number 82, another UDFA, that is Kazir Brown. Kazir Brown was a bulked up corner in college, and the question was going to be, where are you going to play him? He's too big probably to play corner, and Green Bay agreed. So are you going to move him to safety, or do you even want to maybe have him bulk up a little bit more and move to linebacker? Green Bay settled upon safety. It's just a really difficult spot for Kazir Brown. We've talked about it, right? You've got Xavier McKinney, you've got Evan Williams, you've got Javon Bullard and Ketana Ladapo, Zane Anderson, Omar Brown, another undrafted free agent safety that we're going to talk about in just a little bit here. And then you have Kazir Brown, who not only is behind all of those really talented safeties, but is behind all of those really talented safeties and is now trying to learn a new position going from corner to safety. If he shows something, he'll have a real chance to make the practice squad, but that is a tough group to crack. I am intrigued, though. A player that looks like a true safety, right? That fits the mold of a true safety that's played corner almost through their entire career. That's an interesting piece to kind of add to that safety room. So a cool piece to add, but he's got a long road ahead of him to try to beat out those other safeties and find a way somehow down the road on the 53-man roster. Number 81 is another one kind of similar to Cameron Young that does have true legitimate NFL experience, this time on the offensive line instead of the defensive line. This is actually like a free agent signing that most people don't even know about. Isaiah Simmons is a known, you know, player they signed, and Mecole Hardman. There's these players that they've picked up. Obviously the big ones, Nate Hobbs, Aaron Banks, Trey Hill, technically a free agent signing as well, because he is a NFL player who has had time in Cincinnati and has again actually played in NFL games. And that's not nothing. It reminds me a little bit, if you remember Michael Jordan, the offensive lineman who had a bunch of time with Carolina. I think he might've also spent some time in Cincinnati. But he was kind of this, you know, journeyman offensive lineman that has played in the NFL, and Green Bay brought him on the practice squad just as like a super depth piece along the offensive line. They already had like 10 or even maybe 11 guys on the active roster, but they put him on the practice squad just to kind of continue to develop and just have one more option along the offensive line. Trey Hill could maybe have that similar type of trajectory, knowing that he's played and has that experience in the past. But he's a little bit older than some of the undrafted free agents and rookies, and I think that potentially is going to work against him as he tries to fight out and carve his role onto potentially a practice squad spot. Number 80 on my list is Deslin Alexander. Alexander spent the entire season this past year on the practice squad, developing and trying to kind of master his trade a little bit more. That's aggressive. I liked Deslin Alexander in 2024. When I watched his tape, they picked him up again this last year. And there was something there for me when I watched his tape in 2024. I was happy to see that he made the practice squad, got another opportunity and crack at this in 2025. I don't think there's a 53-man roster player here. I think there is a practice squad player that potentially, he's going to have to earn it, but potential practice squad player that if you did need Deslin Alexander to step in and play, I'm going to say 8 to 10 snaps, I think he could give you 8 to 10 snaps, solid 8 to 10 snaps in a game where you're not going to be hurt by him out there. He's probably not going to give you anything of flash or substance, make any big plays or anything like that. But if you needed him for 8 to 10 plays, I think he's good enough to hang. And that might not sound like anything sexy or special, but if you can have defensive ends that can go out there and compete, that's not nothing on the back of your roster. But he's going to have to earn his way onto the practice squad. What happens with these players who have been on the practice squad for multiple seasons is that first year, you're like, all right, let's see if this guy develops. But then in the second year, you better have shown something and you better show that you are ready to go out and play. Because if you're not, they're just going to take a new undrafted free agent, put them in that spot and say, let's see if this guy develops, because the other guy we already gave that chance to and we haven't seen the development that we want. So it's going to be a big offseason for Deslin Alexander. Number 79 is Jalen White. Green Bay brought in two undrafted free agent running backs. I like both of them. They're two totally different types. And I do think Jalen White is a very complete back in the fact that you can run with him. He can catch the ball out of the backfield. I don't recall. Let me see if I can pull up my notes really quick here. If he's got any pass block ability. Trying to remember my notes here from Jalen White. Let's see. Strengths, good jump cut and juke move, team captain, creative runner in tight spaces, quick acceleration after his cuts, has his own unique style and rhythm, only two career fumbles. Weakness is pass pro. Plays high and but makes it work for him. Not going to bring anything as a route runner. Needs to do a better job of running behind his pads. Only 10 special team snaps in 3 years combined. Going to have a tight window as a runner who isn't super dynamic. And that, again, is kind of why he's a little bit lower on the list. But I actually saw a couple plays of him in OTAs and mini camps. Running backs are always fun because they always look the part and you're always like, yeah, that guy looks good with the ball in his hands. Running backs is just that they're always super talented. And you get to these players that are 6th, 7th on the depth chart and you can still see the talent jump out at you. Jalen White has some of that, but he's going to have to improve some of the pass pro and just kind of make himself a little bit more of a well-rounded back than Amar Johnson, who's the other undrafted free agent running back, if he wants to have a chance at making the practice squad and getting his name in a 53 conversation, maybe in a year or two. Next up, number 78 is Nesta Jade Silvera, another defensive tackle. This is another player who does have some true NFL experience and has played in games. Has not gone great for Nesta Jade Silvera, but when you have a defensive tackle spot that's a little bit weaker with a player that has actually played in the NFL for the Raiders, that's interesting. That's intriguing. And again, there is opportunity there. So if he can maybe take a step, show that he is ready to utilize that experience that he's gained from games playing in the past and put that forth in Green Bay and make himself a little bit better, then he's going to have a chance at this thing. If not, he probably is a pretty easy one to eliminate on cut day. And because he's a little bit more experienced and hasn't been able to show anything, you're probably a little bit less interested in bringing him back on the practice squad. So an opportunity for Nesta Jade Silvera, but one that he has to take advantage of. Otherwise, he probably ends up not only without a roster spot, but without potentially a practice squad spot as well. Number 77 on my list is Tyron Herring, undrafted free agent corner. This, again, is a player, not the greatest speed. We talked about him a little bit with Justice Mosqueda earlier this week, but fits the system very well, is willing to come up and make big tackles. And I think, again, in a depth chart that has a complete lack of, known commodities at cornerback, Tyron Herring has every right to come in and potentially earn one of those roster spots. So I'm intrigued by Herring. I don't think he's like one of these, I wouldn't even put him in a Ladarius Gunter undrafted free agent conversation, much less a Sam Shields undrafted free agent conversation. But there's a little something there, and I do like how he fits the scheme for Jeff Hafley. So I'm going to be keeping my eye on him just because of the depth at corner. And if he can maybe make a play or two, maybe he can get his name in that conversation. Number 76 is the last of sort of the random defensive tackles that are on this team. We've talked about four already in Cameron Young, Nesta Jade Silvera, and Keith Randolph. I should say we talked about three already. This is the fourth one. That's James Esther. James Ester probably, when I did this list last year, was probably one of the very last guys out of my list. Like he might have been like number 90, number 89, somewhere in that range. So he's moved up a little bit. I have been impressed by the progress that James Ester has made over the past year. I don't know that it's good enough to really truly get him in the conversation for a 53-man roster spot, but he was somebody that I watched in college. There was a couple plays here or there. I remember there was one game that he had in college where I'm just like, whoa, this is really impressive. But the rest of his college career was a little bit more nondescript and just not flashy and didn't kind of match up to that one game. But he had some flashes in college. And then even in training camp, every once in a while, I think there was even like one practice where James Ester had a really big day. And he's an interesting player. I'm intrigued by James Ester. And I wasn't when they initially signed him as a UDFA. He's gotten better too. And he made a play in OTAs and minicamps already this year. And I'm interested to see if he can kind of continue on this growth trajectory. I do think he's taken steps already. I do think he's moved up that pecking order a little bit. And for me, he is ahead of the other three defensive tackles that are on that list of kind of interesting unknowns is kind of how I'll place it. But probably clearly behind the four guys that are almost locks to make the team. And then even, you know, Brinson as a sixth round pick and Nasir Stackhouse as a premium undrafted free agent behind those guys. But James Ester's kind of next up after that. Number 75 is Amar Johnson, the other undrafted free agent running back. I really liked Amar Johnson and his tape. Just some of the strengths I had, patience, contact balance. He is a big guy that had 4.39 40 speed, yet he's able to get through incredibly tight creases, solid stiff arm and jump cut, able to make bad plays look good. He's slippery, surprisingly able to push the pile forward. He is a nose for the end zone and for getting first downs. He's also got some kick return ability. I should say the size thing. He's a little bit undersized. Had some easy drops out of the backfield, not a dynamic route runner, small school player, pass pro questions, and vision is a little bit hit and miss. But I loved his patience as a back, and he does have true 4.39 40 speed. So there's something there, and I'm interested to see if I had to pick maybe a potential, you know, unknown training camp darling. We always fall in love for running backs and wide receivers, these undrafted types during this time of year. I could easily see Amar Johnson becoming one of those players that, you know, maybe rips off a 70-yard run or something and tries to make a name for himself. Speaking of making a name for himself, number 74, Cornelius Johnson, he had a great mini camp. Multiple touchdown receptions. He did have one play where he did not run the route the right way that Matt LaFleur was getting after him a little bit. But outside of that, I thought he had a really impressive mini camp. And this was somebody that when I put together, again, kind of the list of players that you probably, he was an unknown. So he's an undrafted free agent in 2024. I can't remember if he was an undrafted free agent this year, if he was in 2024, but he was 2024. He was like number two on my list, or I should say the second lowest on my list when I went and watched him. But he is a 9.91 relative athletic speed guy, was a seventh round pick in 2024 by the Chargers. And he showed that he can go make some plays. So very excited to see if he can kind of carry that over into training camp. It's a great start for him in the offseason. Again, anytime you're a draftable player, that gets you a little bit more leeway. And I'm like I said, intrigued to see if he can continue to play that way like he did in minicamp in training camp. Now, he has a laundry list of wide receivers ahead of him on the depth chart right now, but all he can do is just do one day at a time, try to move up one spot on that depth chart, keep putting pressure on those guys, and maybe if nothing else, can find his way onto the practice squad. Number 73 is a player that got a little bit of buzz in minicamp because he got some time with the starters, but I would not read into it. It's Gregory Jr., the corner. And yes, he got some time with the ones, but a lot of times it's not that you got time with the ones. It's what did you make of that time with the ones? I do think part of this was just they were super low on corners and needed somebody to kind of come over and step up. I think the other thing is that he did not perform well when given that opportunity to work with the number ones. And that's a tough ask, right? You got some good receivers in Green Bay that he's all of a sudden got to go against. I believe if I remember correctly, he was the one that got beat on that long touchdown by McCole Hardman. So Definitely still some work to be done for Gregory Jr. The good sign for him is he's getting some of those opportunities. The bad news is he has not yet taken advantage of said opportunities. Number 72 is Jonathan Baldwin, the undrafted free agent defensive back. As I talked about with Justice the other day, this is a player that looked like he was going to get brought in as a potential slot corner or corner. That's how they list him on the roster still, but he has been practicing primarily at safety, and it just is a really difficult position for him to break through at. He was one of the players that was a potential draftable player that Green Bay gave a pretty sizable signing bonus to, or I should say guaranteed money to. So he potentially has a chance. I think they're going to have to figure out exactly what position they want him to play. It's unfortunate for him that at corner, there's a lot more opportunity there. At safety, it's really difficult to crack that depth chart. So that's going to make things much more hard and frustrating, I think, probably in this case for Jonathan Baldwin. But I do think there's a little bit of talent there. If he can show that, maybe he can play a little bit in the slot, a little bit at safety. Again, it's going to give him a really strong argument for the Packers practice squad. We'll be right back. Hey friends, I'm so excited to tell you about this new game-changing product that I've been using before a big night out. It's called Pre-Alcohol. Now, ZBiotics Pre-Alcohol Prebiotic Drink is the world's first genetically engineered prebiotic. It was invented by PhD scientists to tackle rough mornings after drinking. Here's how it works. When you drink, alcohol gets converted into a toxic byproduct in the gut. It's a buildup of that byproduct, not dehydration. That's to blame for rough days after drinking. Pre-alcohol produces an enzyme to break this byproduct down, so just remember to make pre-alcohol your first drink of the night, to drink responsibly, and you'll feel your best tomorrow. Now listen, I get it. I was a bit skeptical about pre-alcohol initially myself, but I've now used it for a bachelor party, the college basketball tournament, and recently for a friend's epic 40th birthday party, and I'm telling you, it's the real deal. And guess what? Summer is here, which means more opportunities to celebrate the warm weather, and before that backyard barbecue brew, the glass of Pinot watching the sunset at the beach, or a cocktail by the campfire, do not forget your ZBiotics pre-alcohol. Drink one before drinking and wake up feeling great and ready to take on the next day and all that summer has to offer. So go to ZBiotics.com/packaday to learn more and get 15% off your first order when you use code packaday. ZBiotics is backed with a 100% money back guarantee. So if you're unsatisfied for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked. Remember to head to ZBiotics.com/packaday and use code packaday. Pack a day at checkout for 15% off. Make sure to support our sponsors and use that code pack a day. Number 71 is Tyler Cooper. We talked about Cooper as well with Justin Mosqueda. I think there's an opportunity there for him to potentially make a run at a roster spot. One of the few undrafted free agents that I think has that ability. For Cooper, just never allowed sacks in college. He's not the biggest. He's not the baddest. He's not the most physical. He's just a sound offensive lineman. And I am a believer sometimes along the offensive line of just give me guys that find ways to get the job done. Mark Tauscher is the ultimate example of that. Not the best body, not the greatest athlete, not an RAS guy, right? Just a ability to go out there and simply get the job done. I think Tyler Cooper has a little bit of that. And I think sometimes that goes a little bit underrated. May not always have the best technique or the biggest or the fastest or the strongest, but somehow, some way, finds a way to block the guy in front of him. That is a value and a skill in and of itself. And I'm interested to see if Tyler Cooper can parlay that skill into anything for Green Bay. Number 70 is Nasir Stackhouse, the defensive tackle for Georgia. He is a big mammoth human being. See some people say like a TJ Slayton. I think he's more of a Jonathan Ford, somebody that had a small cup of coffee on the active roster before getting released, spent most of his time on the practice squad. I think that's where Nasir Stackhouse is probably headed as well. It's always tough to tell in OTAs and mini camps where players are at because the trenches are fake. So you're going to want to, or at least I'm going to want to keep a little bit of an extra eye on him come training camp time, but he's a very fun player on tape that has some bulk to him. I didn't think he played with the greatest pad level. I did think that he got moved off of his spot on too many occasions at Georgia, but he's got the height, the weight, and the strength and anchor ability to potentially hold up at an NFL level at that spot. If he can do that, there is a want and a desire, I think, to kind of fill that TJ Slayton spot with maybe one of these younger players. Number 69 is Messiah Swinson, the tight end. Swinson got a cup of coffee with the Carolina Panthers on their active roster last year. They signed him off of Green Bay's practice squad, which guaranteed that he would get 3 weeks with the team in Carolina. He got that 3 weeks and they immediately cut him. Swinson's a big guy. He has a really great height and the ability to kind of have a really nice catch radius and go pluck the ball when needed. He's got some blocking ability that he's really worked on as well. I think he's in the conversation for the number three tight end spot. Maybe less because of Messiah Swinson and more that John Fitzpatrick and, you know, Ben Sims are not exactly these world beaters at number three, but I think it's a three-way race. I think Swinson, Sims, and Fitzpatrick all have the ability to win that battle. And there is some unique upside there for Messiah Swinson. I'm not talking high-end upside, but I do think he could make himself into a blocking tight end that's got a little bit of receiving chops as well if he really set his mind to it. Number 68 is Jamon Johnson, undrafted free agent out of the SEC, I believe Kentucky, Georgia before that. And he is a player that's got the traits to be an NFL off-ball linebacker. And he was set to be, coming off of his stint in Georgia, a draftable player. Didn't go great for him in his last year in college and ends up undrafted. This is a player that does not have a ton in front of him for an opportunity to make the roster, meaning you've got Quay Walker, Edgerrin Cooper, Tyron Hopper, Isaiah McDuffie, then probably Isaiah Simmons. And if you wanted to keep a true sixth linebacker, all you have to do is beat out Christian Welch right now, which isn't the hardest thing in the world. So I do think he's got an opportunity. He's going to have to show up on special teams, but this is definitely a player where if he plays really, really well, he will have some chance to make the actual 53-man roster. Number 67 is a player that I can't quite find myself quitting on, at least as of yet. That is Julian Hicks, the wide receiver. I really liked Julian Hicks coming out as an undrafted free agent. Had a really nice pass. I think, I want to say it was from Michael Pratt. I'm almost positive it was from Michael Pratt in preseason this past year. I think it was against Cleveland. Great back shoulder, made an unbelievable adjustment to the play. He knows how to play wide receiver. The only issue here for Julian Hicks is A, he's not the most dynamic guy in the world. And B, this is a wide receiver depth chart that is just insanely difficult to try to find a pathway onto. So he's in a tough position in Green Bay right now, but I do think he's a talented wide receiver and could find himself on the practice squad for a second consecutive season. Number 66 is Taylor Algersma. The Packers and others have talked about his IQ as a quarterback and him just kind of being able to pick up on stuff relatively quick. Forget who was said it. Bill Huber, I know, has wrote about it and talked about it, that they feel like he's got the mind of like a Kurt Warner. And that's a very tall praise to give any quarterback. He's tall. He has a fastball. We saw a 7-on-7, 2 7-on-7 reps back to back where he threw absolute laser touchdowns to Cornelius Johnson, went through his routes and his progressions really well. Now it's just 7-on-7. The live bullets are not flying. There's nobody trying to rip your face off. But for what I've seen so far, live arm, talented player. And I'm really interested to see how much time he gets in preseason. And more importantly, what he does with that time. 65 is our second consecutive quarterback. That's Sean Clifford. Clifford was released this past year. They were able to get him back in the practice squad. And, you know, they clearly were not happy with Pratt and Clifford and the lack of development in 2024. So they had to go out and get Malik Willis, spend a draft pick. That was a blessing in disguise. What a godsend he was as a backup quarterback this past year. But for Sean Clifford, he's going to have to show that he's taken some sort of tangible step in the right direction. This is year three. The fun developmental time is sort of over. You're still going to continue to develop him as long as he's on the roster. But you got to show that you're learning, picking up things, and showing signs of progress. If he can do that, he'll have an outside chance to kind of stick around if he can beat out Taylor Algersma. If he can't, then that number three job is probably Algersma's as he hangs out on the practice squad and probably is looking for a Packers injury at quarterback for him to have the opportunity, meaning Algersma, to kind of go in there and take the spot. But for Sean Clifford, this is a big offseason for him. If he wants to stick in Green Bay, it's probably a now or never sort of mentality. Number 64 is Omar Brown. Omar Brown was somebody that I really liked as a UDFA this past year in 2024. Wanted the Packers to sign him. He was a top 30 visit, which was really kind of the only reason I knew about Omar Brown. He goes to Denver as an undrafted free agent. I was pretty bummed. I'm like, I wish they almost would have drafted him in the seventh round so they could have got him. But Broncos end up releasing him. Green Bay is able to get him on their practice squad. He got called up for a game before the end of the season, has some special teams ability. In college, he would play some corner, some slot, some safety. So he's got some good coverage skills. I think there's a good player there. Just he needs to continue to take strides in the right direction. And for him, it's all going to be about special teams for the time being. Number 63 is a player who actually was on the 53-man roster this past year, and that is Aaron Mosby. I thought Aaron Mosby had his first opportunity in 2024 to just stop and play one position at defensive end. He's been moving between off-ball linebacker, defensive end, standing up, handing the, like, he just has had a lot of movement in his career. And Green Bay said, enough's enough. You're a defensive end. We're going to play you there. And he had some opportunity on special teams as well. But I thought focusing in on defensive end was very beneficial for him. Now, this upcoming season, you know, he probably needs a couple breaks to go his way in order to have a chance at the 53. But he was the sixth defensive end this past year, made a couple plays, has some special teams ability. He'll have a chance. He'll have a chance, even if it's a little bit of an outside chance to make the 53. Number 62 is Christian Welch. Had a real chance, it felt like, last year in 2024 to make the 53. He didn't. He ended up getting claimed elsewhere. Good special teams player. Not ultra dissimilar to an Eric Wilson, where you've got a veteran type player that can go in at linebacker in a pinch, but is ultimately going to be a core special teamer for you. If he can be that, he'll have a real chance to make the team. He needs to win over Rich Bisaccia. If he wants to make the team, it has less to do with Jeff Hafley and more to do with Rich Bisaccia, but that's probably his avenue to making the 53-man roster. And then last but not least, number 61 is Kalen King. We've talked about this the other day. I'm not super high on Kalen King. I like the draft pick as a late round flyer in the seventh round. They cut him. They put him on the practice squad. They activated Kamal Haddon off the practice squad, a guy they just got in before activating Kalen King. I'm not saying that he can't do it down the road. I'm not saying that he can't be potentially even a good corner, but I think he's going to have to really put that work in. And I do think that, you know, once you kind of get cut in the NFL, sometimes there's that connotation and you feel a little bit better as a GM that you're probably going to be able to get that guy back on the practice squad if you want him, because you cut him once already and put him on the practice squad and nobody had any interest in picking him up. He was a seventh round player in a draft that was deemed to be only five rounds deep. So again, I like Kalen King. Think there's some potential there. He's going to have to find out, is he an outside guy? Is he a slot guy? He's primarily been in the slot during practices over the course of the last year and a half. I do think he's going to get some opportunity on the outside as well, and he's certainly going to need to make the most of that opportunity. All right, so that is our list of 90 to 61. Just to recap it, Alex Hale at number 90, followed by Keith Randolph, Johnny Lumpkin, Isaiah Dunn, Brant Banks, Sam Brown Jr., J.J. Lippe, Cameron Young, Kazeer Brown, Trey Hill, Deslin Alexander, Jalen White, Nesta Jade-Silvera, Tyron Herring, James Esther, Amar Johnson, Cornelius Johnson, double Johnsons back-to-back, Gregory Jr., Jonathan Baldwin, Tyler Cooper, Nazir Stackhouse, Messiah Swinson, Jamon Johnson, Julian Hicks, Taylor Algersma, Sean Clifford, Omar Brown, Aaron Mosby, Christian Welch, and Kalen King. That is going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. We'll be right back here tomorrow going through numbers 40 through 21. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Boom Handle, Donnelly, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Hwang, Peter Rataka, Jason Merman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Gesford, Dylan Patscott, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Carlo Delgado, Willie Winkle-Stinkle, Jen Wright, The Gable Storm, Mac Iger, Pack Attack Cast, Chris Weish, and Griffin Hen Bill. I'll see you guys tomorrow. But until next time, and as always, go Pack Go.